Ministers sometimes have nightmares, and I think they're unique to ministers. Just this week I had one, in actual fact. My nightmare went like this. Well, it was a dream to start with. I was preaching, and then I noticed that some people weren't paying attention, and I realized that somebody had brought a television set with them, a large flat screen, had set it up around about here. Now, the G's don't normally sit there, so it wasn't them, okay. It was somebody else in the congregation, vividly saw their face, and the TV was set up, and everybody now was looking at the TV. And I was preaching like crazy, and they were just looking at the TV. So I was upset, understandably, and I remember being outside on this bit of grass here, speaking to a trusty confidant. I don't want to make too many eye contacts because then people are going to be, oh, Brian. But and I was saying to them, I'm really angry. And they were like, oh, what's the problem? I'm like, well, didn't you see what was happening? Yeah, but they were enjoying the program. No, but I was preaching. And it went on like this for a bit, and then I woke up in a cold sweat. I'm ashamed. Thank you. Yes, that's what I was thinking as well. So this morning I did just look around casually in case there were any TV screens. But I'm happy to report that I think it's all go. We're talking about peace. And so I woke up once this week, and there was no peace. And so I don't know if that's a nightmare anybody else has had. I think it might be unique to ministers. So last week, in our first week of Advent, we spoke about this whole concept of hope. And I said, hey, if you want to exercise, then take photos of light. Remember, Lord Jesus, light of the world, my hope is in you. And some people did. And I thought you might have missed some of the photos because I posted some of them onto Facebook. And some people are like, that's my photo. And it is, you're right. Hey, sure, got some real nice lights to take photos of. But that's what we were trying to remember from last week and this whole thought of hope. And then I thought, well, let me just, in case you missed that, just put up our website, our Facebook page address. I think we're the right age for Facebook. The younger generation is into Instagram, but we still, well, some of the young people are now looking at me and smiling. But so if you missed out on that, I'm going to have another exercise at the end of today. So if you don't follow us on Facebook, then maybe you want to, because then you can be a part of this journey of peace as it progresses and develops through the week. So we look at peace today. Remember, we found hope in the fruit of the Spirit last week. Well, we find peace there as well in the fruit. So it's something that as Christ, as the Holy Spirit lives in us, it becomes more evident in our lives. Peace is more evident because it's one of the fruits that grows in our lives. But our scripture today is Luke 2, 13 and 14. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. I highlighted the word peace in yellow, and I've done that for all of the scripture readings because you'll see something that appears a whole lot of times. One of the things we love at Christmas time is the nativity scene. I don't know if you like the nativity scene. If you're a friend of mine on Facebook, you would have seen our nativity scene, but I had a different photo of a nativity scene this morning for you, because the nativity scene, when you look at it, is often a very peaceful scene. I haven't seen like moms with hair on like the ends because they're waking up every 2.5 hours to feed the baby Jesus or anything. It just, when you look at that, it just looks peaceful, doesn't it? And so that's one of the places where this peace starts to invade our lives at that nativity scene. And then we sing about it a whole lot. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin, mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. And if you're feeling peaceful now, it's because I said those words and I didn't sing them. Could have gone either way for us. But we all long for peace. Don't you long for peace? And we have interesting pictures of peace when we think about peace. The Nativity is not the first one we go to. Or the hymn Silent Night's not the first thing we think of. But we all would love to have a place where we're free of worry, free of anxiety, where we don't have conflict, we don't have stress, and where we have a world that is at peace. We all long for those things. I read this quote this week, "Peace is not the absence of trouble, but the presence of Christ." We sometimes think that peace is being away from certain things. The quote is quoted in different ways if you look it up. Somebody said, "Peace is not the absence of chaos, but it is the presence of God in the chaos." But it's the same thing, really. You see, we want to get away from everything to experience peace. But the Prince of Peace came into the world, came into the chaos, came into the trouble, into the stress, that we could experience peace all the time. And that's what we need to be trying to grab onto this morning, is the fact that peace is not something we have when the worship leader says, "Let's be quiet." It is peaceful. But there's other places where we need to experience peace in the turmoil. That's where we need the peace. And we can't always just jump aside. But we have to know Christ came into that we could experience peace all the time. His peace. So, four places I want to look at this morning. Jesus brings us peace with God. Jesus brings us peace with ourselves. Jesus brings us peace with others. And Jesus will bring peace on earth. So let's start there at the beginning. Jesus brings us peace with God. Romans 5:1 says this, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." We are not naturally at peace with God. As we grow up, we're not at peace with God. As we're born, as we grow, we're not at peace with God. There's a place where we accept Jesus Christ, where we say, "Lord, I accept your forgiveness. I repent. I want to be close to you." And at that moment, we're at peace with God. I often think about what I was like before I became a Christian and then now, or after I accepted Christ. And there definitely was a struggle that was happening with me and God before I found Jesus Christ. I wasn't on the same page as God. There was not peace there. But the scripture promises us that we will have peace. When the angel comes to Mary, he brings a message of peace. Luke 1:26-30. "In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words." I think I would be greatly troubled at an angel, but the words, "and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid. You have found favor with God.'" She's troubled. An angel appears. He speaks words to her and then knows that she is experiencing this unease, this disconnect. But she has got faith in the promises that the Messiah will come. The Old Testament folk had faith in the fact that Jesus Christ would be born, that the Messiah would come. That's where we find their faith. And then we also see the angel going to Joseph. All of these folk needed angels to just say, "Look, it's all going to be okay, guys." But in Matthew 1:21, "She, Mary, your wife, will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from sin." That name, Jesus, is it can be translated or brought into the English language to mean to deliver, to rescue, or salvation. So we find wrapped up in that name this concept of being put right with God, rescued from sin and put in a right relationship. salvation. Why is it that everyone who puts their faith in Jesus finds peace with God? Well, it's because what happened on the cross. It's because Jesus Christ died and rose again that we can have life. As we turn to him and say, Lord, I'm sorry for what I've done. Forgive me. I'll repent of that. I'm turning away from that. I was going in this direction, but now I'm going in this direction. That's how we find this connection with God again. Sin cuts us off from Almighty God. Isaiah 53 verse 5. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. The punishment that brought us peace was on Jesus Christ. So that's the first thing. Then we have this peace that we find at this time. We remember again the peace. We have the peace all the time. But this time of the year, as we come to Advent, we say, what is it that we have? We have peace. We have hope. But we also have peace found in Jesus Christ with God. Then Jesus brings us peace with ourselves. Sin separates us from God. But sin within us makes us kind of uneasy, difficult with ourselves, anxious. We live in turmoil. There's conflict within. And we really need inner peace. One of the things that I remember when I accepted Christ was the fact that I had peace for the very first time. It felt like a load of stuff was just lifted from my shoulders. And I was free of stuff that I knew was not right. There was that sensation that it was tangible. Almost like I had these bricks on my shoulders of stuff that I'd been carrying around. And I just felt a lightness when I accepted Christ. And that's what happens. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We find this peace in and through Jesus Christ as we say to him, here I am, help me. And it'll guard our hearts and our minds. So not only do we have the sin that is gone, but our hearts and our minds are guarded by the peace. John 14:27 is very powerful when we speak about peace. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. So as we turn to Christ, we've got peace with God. We also have peace with ourselves. And then Christ brings peace between people. Christ brings peace with others. We've got a great example of this in the Christmas story. Joseph first heard about Mary and the fact that she was pregnant. He considered breaking off the engagement, as one might do. He must have been hurt. He must have been confused. What has happened? But then in Matthew 1:20 we read, after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Taking her home pregnant, and he's not the father, would have been a real problem back in the day. And the angel says, well, don't be afraid of that. Don't worry. It's going to be okay. So we go through many challenges in life of our own. We sometimes have difficulty with relationships. And that's when we ask Jesus, the Prince of Peace, to help us with those relationships. Ephesians 2:14. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. I don't know if you sit right on the side of the church because you're avoiding somebody on the other side of the church. I don't know. But sometimes we can be in this big family here and we can be disconnected. We can. I hope I'm not disconnected with anybody. And if I am, I'm very happy if you come and say, I think we're disconnected. Because it's vital that we say to the Prince of Peace, help me to be connected. And we're not only connected to each other here, would you believe? We're also connected to other Christians up the street, The Baptist Church, the Methodist Church, the Anglican Church, Hillside Church, City Hill. We're part of the family of God. We are His children. We don't always get on with our brothers and sisters. Normally the hardest people to get on with. My sister still has got some scars from our... okay, those are different stories. I get just sidetracked. But anyway, but we do sometimes live with scars because of the relationships that have not been good. And it's right that we say, Prince of Peace, Almighty God, help me to have peace in my relationships. Because that works on us. It works on others. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. One body, this body, the body of Christ worldwide. When I spoke to a minister who ministers in Israel, he says one of the difficult scriptures for them is love your neighbor, because their neighbors are Palestinians. It's a reality. It's a real challenge for those Christians to live out their faith. So, yeah, as we come to this place of peace this morning, we have peace with God if we allow Him. We have peace with ourselves if we turn to Christ. We have peace with the people far away on the other side of church. And then Jesus will bring peace on earth. Luke 2:13 and 14. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory in the highest, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." This is a prophecy that we find back in Isaiah 2 verse 4. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. And how do we know that this is talking about Jesus Christ? Because a little bit further in Isaiah 9 it says this, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on His shoulders, and He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace there will be no end." This points us towards a place where peace will reign forever. We have peace with God, we have peace with ourselves, we have peace with others, and there will be a place when that very prophecy will come true. Plowshares and pruning hooks and really great stuff. So this is what Christ will do. He will bring peace on earth. He will reconcile all things on earth, but He'll even reconcile all things in heaven and on earth. Colossians 1:19 and 20. "For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwelling in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things on heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross." So this peace will be a universal peace, a great, big, massive peace. In conclusion, I have to say that. Are you ready here? Oh, Joe. Anyway, Joe was doing the kids' song and she nearly missed it last week coming back in. So I said, okay, I'm going to say in conclusion so that somebody can go and call her. But she was very quick. Okay. They're practicing a song. The kids are practicing a song to do tonight at the carol service. Hey, I just hope that the sheep dress up. No. Oh, the sheep. Okay. So let me leave you with a couple of thoughts about this morning, okay? Just a couple of questions to ponder. So the first thing is, as I've been sharing, do you have peace with God? Do you have peace with God? If you don't, maybe you need to just stop for a moment and say, how do I have peace with You, Almighty God? Remember, repent, turn towards God, ask Jesus to forgive your sin. Something like that. The Bible says, God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him. And then it says, repent and be baptized. So there's a place where we can go to God and say, Lord, help me. I want to be right with You. So have you found peace this morning with God? Then have you found peace with yourself this morning? You don't want to live with turmoil and uneasiness and conflict within. And maybe that's the place you need to go to this morning and say, Lord, I want to have peace internally, inside. I can feel stuff eating me up. Maybe that's not you. Another one, don't worry. I'm going to try and get everybody to commit to something. Do you have peace with others this morning? Okay. Put down your, bring your pruning hooks. I don't know. Put down your plow shears. What are we putting down? And anyway. But there's a place where we need to make right with other people. And in Christ, it's not a human thing. Sometimes when we are challenged to make right with other people, there's a place where we humanly can't do it. Where we need to say, Lord, if this is going to happen, I really need your help. As I speak to the person that I'm in conflict with, won't you help me? Give me the words to speak. Give me a heart of grace. So maybe you need to be at peace with others this morning. And then, do we pray for peace on earth? It's important that we pray. Peace on earth, peace in our government, peace in our nation, peace in the world. It's important that we pray about that. We pray, come, Lord Jesus. You're the peace of the world. We need to pray that. So the challenge this week is to, I don't know if anybody has got a to-do list. Anybody have a to-do list? I can't work without a to-do list. But I want to challenge you to this week. Last week it was take photos of light. Okay, this week, compile a to-be list. Okay, a to-be list. Let me give you some examples. Maybe put on your to-do list, check my to-be list, okay? Then it's bound to happen. I'm clever, hey? I've thought about everything. Brian, I never thought of looking at my to-be list. Okay, so maybe your to-be list, you could have some things like this listed. I want to be a person who seeks peace with God. It's about us and our attitudes. Not things we have to do, but more how do we want to be. Maybe you will say something like, I want to be a person who slows down and breathes more as I seek peace with myself. Maybe I want to be a peacemaker in my relationships. Maybe I want to be a loving presence. Maybe I want to be someone who prioritizes people over projects. So that's my challenge this week. Have a to-be list. And then if you want to send me a couple of your to-bes or one of your to-bes or all of your to-bes, then I'll kind of post some of them each day just to remind everybody, and maybe one will go, oh, you'll look at it and go, oh, I want to be like that as well. I'm going to add that to my to-be list. I guess that's my challenge. Are you right with God? Are you right with yourself? Do you have peace in those areas? Are you at peace with other people? Pray for peace in the world. And then maybe, if you're up to it, make a to-be list. And then share some stuff with me. Let's pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord. We do proclaim that you are the one true God, that you are the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, that you are the one true God. We thank you that you are the one who sent your Son, Jesus, that he lived among us, that Isaiah proclaimed that the Prince of Peace would come, that the angel said, this is the one who will bring peace to all men. And Lord, I thank you that as you come into our lives, that you do give us peace. That we can stop. That we can breathe and that we can wait. And that we can know that you're the one that quiets our hearts. You're the one that brings us back into a right relationship with Almighty God. Jesus, that you're the one who we can trust as we want to work through the stuff that's running around inside our hearts. Lord Jesus, prompt us to speak to the people that we're at odds with. And then as we're prompted, won't you give us words to speak? Give us big arms to hug. Give us hearts that are full of your love and your grace as we approach those people that we need to make right with. And then we pray. We pray, come, Lord Jesus, you are our peace. Bless us now, we pray in your mighty name. Amen.